Chapter 48. D turned right onto Boylston, left onto Yawkey Way, right onto Lansdowne, and waited. The bus ride from Paradise to Boston was okay as bus rides went. Not that she had taken a bus ride since college. For all the fuss, she should have just rented a car, but money was getting tight, and she wanted time to think without having to pay attention to driving. She wasn't pleased about having to turn down Jesse Stone's dinner invitation. She thought she could get used to living in Paradise, as long as Jesse was part of the deal. There was just something about him beyond the fierce sex and the good looks. He was so self-contained, so sure of himself. Yet there was a kind of melancholy in him, a promise unfulfilled that sang to her. She wondered if he was even aware of it. Why was it that wounded men appealed to women? She couldn't explain it. But who was she fooling? She had been living behind a veil of lies for so long, she had actually started believing them herself. There was no future for her in Paradise. Jesse would find out she'd been lying to him soon enough, and then their cozy little romance of omelets and old uniform shirts would collapse under its own weight. She could tell Jesse was no saint, but he was not a man to be lied to. That much was evident. What more, she thought, could sleeping with Vic cost her than the price she was already bound to pay? Jesse and Vic would have to wait. For the moment, she was more concerned with the cryptic message she'd received from Abe Rosen. She'd also been a little worried about Kayla and her failure to text or call as she had promised. But her worries about Kayla didn't run deep. As composed as Kayla had seemed when she drove away from the hotel, it couldn't have been that easy for her to leave Vic. Regardless of the damage each had done to the other, they had spent 20 years together. You don't just turn your back on that as if walking out on a bad movie. Our worst habits are the hardest to break. So she guessed she understood how calling could have slipped Kayla's mind. She felt a strong hand on her shoulder and recognized Abraham Rosen's touch. They had been close and, on more than one occasion, come close to crossing the line. But Abe had stopped them from making that mistake. They had been each other's only ally back at the Bureau, and an office affair would have complicated that, if not ruined it altogether. But that was before Diana had, to Rosen's way of thinking, gone mad and set out on her single-minded quest. She was as good as lost to him now. "Hello, Diana." Abe Rosen looked the part. He was square-jawed, broad-shouldered, clean-shaven, and wore his wavy black hair cropped close to his head. He had hazel eyes that ran to green, and a neutral mouth. Even dressed casually as he was, in a navy blue blazer, khaki pants, a yellow golf shirt, and deck shoes, he looked like a government agent. He had come to the Bureau the old-fashioned way, out of law school. He had done his time in the field and made some big white-collar cases in Phoenix before getting transferred to headquarters. He had always dreamed of making it to D.C. Since then, he had been more judicious in his dreams. Diana folded herself into Abe's arms and sobbed. She had been on an island by herself for so many months that just being next to him overwhelmed her. He let her cry, stroking her hair, but he was careful not to say that everything would be all right. He didn't believe in lying to friends. "Come on, let's get a drink." They found a bar a few blocks from Fenway. It wasn't very crowded, as it was a travel day for the Sox. They slid into a back booth and ordered a couple beers. "So what are you doing here?" Diana said, taking a sip of her IPA. "I took a few days. Figured I'd come see the sights, catch a Sox game." "Bullshit. You grew up a Yankees fan, and the Sox are on the road. In any case, you aren't the type to just take a few days off impulsively." He took a gulp of his lager. "I came to ask you to come back to work, Di. The bosses are getting antsy, and I've heard rumblings that they're going to start looking into your leave situation. If they..." "No, not now. I'm close. I can feel it." "You said that 8 months ago. Then you said it 5 months ago and last month. This is crazy," he said. She slid out of the booth and stood over Abe. "I love you for doing this, but..." but I'm not coming back now. If you won't do it for yourself, Di, do it for me. She leaned over and kissed him on the forehead. I would do almost anything for you, Abe. There was a time I would have done anything for you. He curled up the corners of his lips. I figured you'd say no. Come on, sit back down. Talk to me for 5 more minutes. I did come all this way to see you. When she did as he asked, Abe reached into his jacket pocket, pulled out a folded brown envelope, and slid it across the table. What's this? She said. Probably a mistake. Abe? Open it up. It's some eyes-on stuff from the Boston PD you might find interesting. He sipped his beer as Diana studied the surveillance photos inside the envelope. Her eyes were blank as she scanned the first few photos. So who are these people? She asked. Keep going. Holy shit, that's Vic Prado, he said. Who are these other people? Here. He gestured for the photos, which she slid across the tabletop to him. He pointed. This guy's Mike Frazetta. He's Boston Mob. Started out in Lowell. Worked his way up. He's an up-and-comer, but kicks upstairs to Gino Fish. Mostly runs book, some drugs, loan sharking, money laundering. Diana smiled. Lowell. That's right, Abe nodded. Lowell. Just like Vic Prado. So that's Mike. Vic and Kayla sometimes talked about a guy Vic knew named Mike. Kayla hated it when his name came up, but she wouldn't talk about it. And this guy? That's Joe Breen. He's a bad boy, Joe. Frazetta's enforcer. Lots of arrests. Done some time. One long bid for assault. Want to guess where he's from? Lowell? Bingo. And the woman? Diana said. The wife, Lorraine Frazetta. Lowell, too, I suppose. Apparently, they've all known each other since they were kids. Where'd you get this stuff, Abe? I told you, Boston PD. Guy in the OC division owed me a few favors. But why now? She said. Why haven't we known about the connection between Frazetta and Vic Prado before this? Because he hasn't shown up at Frazetta's house until now. Twice in the last several days, apparently. Why does the Boston PD have Frazetta under surveillance? Abe shrugged. Could be a million reasons. A CI whispered in somebody's ear. Something Frazetta did tripped a red flag. Who knows? And why did this friend in the Boston PD give this to you? For Christ's sakes, Di, stop asking dumb questions. He finished his beer. I'm trying to help you here. She smiled at him. Watch out, Abe. Your New York is showing. He laughed. It didn't last. What do you think it means, Vic showing up at Frazetta's house like this? She said. I don't know. Maybe nothing. She stared at the photos some more, an angry expression on her face. What's with the face? He said. If they had only let me follow my gut on Prado, let me do some digital surveillance on the guy. But they didn't, Di. Abe stood up. They didn't, and now you've fucked up your career. For what? She waved the photos at him. For what's right, Abe? For the truth. Truth? Whose truth? What truth? Those photos don't mean anything. They're evidence of a guy visiting an old friend. I knew this was a mistake. Then why'd you come? She said. If you have to ask that question, then I really am wasting my time. She tried handing the surveillance photos back to him. Keep them, he said. Consider them my contribution to your obsession. Use them to build an altar to the guy. Burn some candles at his shrine. I'm going to get him, Abe. You'll see. Maybe you will die, but it won't end well. What's that supposed to mean? Ahab found Moby Dick. Look how that wound up. Goodbye, Diana. He leaned over and kissed her hard on the mouth. He was gone by the time she could make any sense of things. Then she checked her phone. Still no call from Kayla.